This is Robertson Stevens of the California Institute of Technology Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Project ECHO was directed by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration and was that agency's first major experiment in an extensive program of developing satellite communication technology for peaceful purposes. The principal aim of the experiment was to establish the feasibility of transcontinental voice communications using a 100-foot diameter balloon satellite as a passive relay. To conduct the primary experiment, JPL prepared and operated its West Coast Goldstone tracking station, and BTL prepared and operated an East Coast satellite communications station at Holmdel, New Jersey. The NASA Goddard Space Flight Center, utilizing their Minitrack network, provided data on the precise position of the satellite. The Goldstone Tracking Station near Barstow, California, is one of four stations comprising the NASA JPL Deep Space Instrumentation Facility, a network designed primarily for use in lunar and planetary programs. It was first operated in December 1958 to track and receive telemetry from the Pioneer 3 vehicle. Preparation of the Goldstone Station for Project ECHO began in February 1959 and was completed 1 year later. To perform the communication experiment for Project ECHO, both the East and West Coast stations required a large transmitting antenna with a high-power transmitter and a large receiving antenna with a very sensitive receiver. Also, sophisticated techniques were needed for accurately pointing the very narrow beams of the antennas at the rapidly moving satellite. The operations plan for Project ECHO included a pre-flight system testing program which involved equipment and personnel of all the stations in combined operational exercises. The moon was used as a reflector for tests of the communication system. The combination of the moon's radar cross-section and its distance from Earth provided a received signal strength approximately equal to that obtained with the ECHO satellite. Results of the moon bounce tests are illustrated by the following messages recorded during the experiments.
The information is being transmitted, from Goldstone, where it is originating in our sound trailer. Is going to Holmdel, New Jersey via the moon. Is being received at Holmdel on their horn. Receiver, and is being transmitted back to us. Via the four-wire landline. That was demonstrated originally in mode one. The purpose of the demonstration. Is to permit Goldstone listeners. To hear what is being received at Holmdel.
This is Bill Jakes at the Bell Telephone Laboratories at Holmdel, New Jersey, transmitting to the Jet Propulsion Laboratories at Goldstone, California, by means of radio reflections from the moon.
Fading and distortion in the transmission is caused by the relative motion of the moon and the Earth. As a result of that motion, radio waves reflected from different parts of the moon's surface alternately reinforce and cancel. This phenomenon is not observed with the ECHO balloon because of its smooth surface.
This is Walter K. Victor, project engineer for ECHO at the California Institute of Technology Jet Propulsion Laboratory. The following message by President Eisenhower was transmitted via the ECHO balloon during the first pass of the satellite over the United States.
This is President Eisenhower speaking. It is a great personal satisfaction to participate in this first experiment in communications involving the use of the satellite balloon known as ECHO. This is one more significant step in the United States program of space research and exploration. The program is being carried forward vigorously by the United States for peaceful purposes for the benefit of all mankind. The satellite balloon, which has reflected these words, may be used freely by any nation for similar experiments in its own interest. The United States will continue to make freely available to the world the scientific information acquired from this and other experiments in its program of space exploration.
The next recording is a message by Senator Johnson recorded during Orbit 22.
The American people and freedom-loving people all over the world should be proud of this great space experiment. There can be no question but the day will come, and in the not-too-distant future, when one man, one program, can be seen and heard simultaneously in every living room of the world. Let us all continue to work to see that these new means of communication replace suspicion with understanding, hostility and isolation with cooperation, and ignorance with free exchange of knowledge. The Congress sends its congratulations to all those who have made this possible.
The third recording is a telephone conversation between the JPL and BTL project engineers during Orbit 34.
Hello, Victor. Are you reading me out there?
Yeah, I read you fine, Bill.
Good deal. Okay. Well, how do you like FM with feedback now, Walt?
Hey, it sounds pretty good.
Sounds pretty good, huh?
Am I on the landline or am I coming to you by radio?
You are coming to me by radio, and I'm going to you the same way.
Hey, that sounds pretty good.
I think it does, too. Now, just stand by one. I'm going to the other phone.
The last recording is a telephone conversation between Dr. DuBridge of the California Institute of Technology and Mr. Kappel of the American Telephone and Telegraph Corporation during Orbit 70. Dr. DuBridge also talked with Dr. Fisk of the Bell Telephone Laboratories.
Hello, Dr. DuBridge.
Hello, Mr. Kappel. Well, how are you?
Well, I'm fine.
I want to congratulate you on this achievement, Mr. Kappel.
I think we ought to congratulate both our organizations for working together like they're doing.
Well, they've had a wonderful time collaborating on this, and they're very thrilled to have the thing happen. Can you see the satellite visually now?
Not this time. Not now. I'm inside.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, I'm standing out on our terrace within a few feet of the Pacific Ocean. You may be able to hear the surf. Is Jim Fisk on the line?
I think he is intending to. They were going to turn me off here and put him on.
All right.
Heard from them.
All right. Let me talk to Jim. Hello.
Hello, Lee.
Hello, Jim.
It's Jim Fisk.
Can you hear me all right, Jim?
I can.
Oh, good. And you're calling from New Bern?
Yes, that's right.
Well, we're at Capistrano Beach, right on the Pacific Ocean.
Good.
And we have a lot of neighbors out here that are watching the satellite and listening in.
Well, that's fine. I think this is an important time in the history of science and technology, Lee.
Well, I'm glad you think so, Jim. You have important prospects for this kind of telephone communication in the labs?
Yes, I think we do. We think it's very important. I'd like to say particularly that beyond the importance of the experiment, which is a brilliant experiment, carefully planned and carefully carried out, I simply want to say that I think the collaboration between our two laboratories, JPL and BTL, at Goldstone and Holmdel, has been superb.
While programs such as ECHO certainly will not mean the end of telephone and television transmissions as we know them today, it is clear that communication satellites have an important role in the future. Experiments in this direction might one day lead to worldwide television, for example, so that viewers in the United States might be able to see in real time a performance of the Bolshoi Ballet in Moscow. Or, Viewers in Moscow, perhaps, might view an American college football game or the Baseball World Series. For whatever it may portend, Echo is the voice of tomorrow.